Get these mics settled. All right, good to see you today. It's nice to be seen, right? Right, yes, absolutely. We're glad that you are here today. Let me just take a moment and wish each of you a very happy Independence Day. You guys look pretty good for 245 years. Is that what it is? 245? I think that's correct. That's quite a milestone. You know, if you ever have a chance to have a 12-foot screen up in front of you, you can put your grandchild up there. But since I have this screen in front of me today, my little granddaughter Finley sent me that picture the other day. Now, you know, only my grandchild's going to have on a bathing suit with a tutu and a camo hat and American flag, right? My daughter said Finley was out on the porch and she was waving the flag at everybody that went by. She was waving the flag at them. So she has the spirit for the holiday. Matter of fact, they're coming over to our house this afternoon and this evening. So I'm looking forward to spending the holiday with family. Hopefully you have some time set up for your family as well. Well, today we are going to finish up our series that we started 4 weeks ago entitled Chameleon. Now, let me take just a moment and review with you, kind of bring you up to the place that we are today, and then we'll finish this out. If you remember, it all started with that passage in Romans about don't conform. Don't conform to the world, but to be transformed. And we talked about how easy it is for us to live like a life like a chameleon. A chameleon just kind of takes on the background of whatever it's around. You know, it can change its colors. It can change its look. So when you look at a chameleon, you don't see anything different. You don't see anything unusual. It's just it just mirrors what's going on around it. And if you remember, what we were saying was, and what God is teaching us, is that we shouldn't live like that as Christians. Week two, we talked about how we're aliens and how we're strangers. We're not of this world. We should look different. We should talk differently. We should treat people differently. But the point is, do we? Because if we don't, and if we're not, we're living the life of a chameleon. And there's so much more, and that's really what Alex got into last week, you know, talking about how God calls us not only to not conform to the image of the world and to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, but how when we're in Christ that we become something different. When we go out into the world, we're to be ambassadors. We're to be representatives. When people look at us, they should see Christ. So today, when we come to the end of this, we're going to talk about, you know, a subject that is so important in order for us to accomplish this. And I want to talk to you today about the most powerful force in all the universe. And that's the power of love. Specifically, God's love. Would you bow with me and let's just begin with a word of prayer. God, help us today to understand the love that you have for us. And help us, Lord, to understand how you call us to love the rest of your people. And God, once we understand it, allow us to learn how to show it to those around us by the ways that we act, the ways that we speak, the ways that we serve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think it was Oscar Wilde that first said that imitation is the greatest form of flattery. Maybe you know the rest of that quote, or maybe that you don't, but the entire quote says that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery that mediocrity can pay to greatness. Now think about that, folks, and how God is calling us not to just be imitators like a chameleon to the culture in which we live, but God calls us not to flatter the world around us by living lives of mediocrity, but God calls us to live a life that is so different that it draws attention to His greatness. Now I don't know about you, but have you ever wanted to be like someone so much that you imitated them? I remember some years ago, a young lady named Christy Inyart, who was the daughter of the homiletics professor that I had in college and seminary. And homiletics is the study, and you know the it's about preaching. And she came to the church, this was years ago, but she came as a visitor to the church one day, and she heard me preach, and I'll never forget, it shocked me to the very core of my being. As she went out, she said, "You know what, John?" She said, "I could have closed my eyes and I would have thought that I was sitting here listening to my dad." Who are you imitating? You know, unbeknownst to me, I guess that I had developed some things in the way that I presented the message that reminded her of her dad. And although I didn't do it on purpose, you know, I'd always thought that he was not just a good preacher, I thought he was a great preacher. So I took that as somewhat of a compliment. And you know what? When we think about imitating someone, a lot of times we choose not the best of those around us to imitate, but we choose the worst of those around us to imitate. And in any event, who better to imitate than Jesus Christ? Who better to model our life after than the one that lived a sinful life? Who better to model your day-to-day activities and the way that you interact with others around you than Jesus Christ, who always responded to people, whoever that person was or might have been? He always responded in the most appropriate way imaginable. So who better to imitate than Jesus Christ? Christ is our most precious example of righteous living. And you know what the truth is? I mean, when you think about this, the truth really is that standing out for Christ has got to include the most important aspect of His ministry. You know what it was? It was love. He loved people dearly. I mean, should we even have to remind ourselves that love is the reason that Jesus came? That for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son? Greater love has no one than this, than someone to lay down their life for his friends. John 15, 13, love was the reason Jesus traded His life for 4 hours. So folks, listen, as we come to this last aspect of what a life looks like that is not a chameleon, but is living a life of transformation, living a life of being in Christ, living a life as an ambassador to the world and to the people around us, love is so very important. Matter of fact, let me show you how important. Turn to Ephesians. I've got it up here on the screen. By the way, you guys need to really be worried because I've got a full cup of coffee and 3 bottles of water, all right? You may not make fireworks tonight before I'm done. Look at this passage. I love this. He says, follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Follow God's example. Another version actually uses the word here of be imitators. Be imitators of God. But then notice that he says, as dearly loved children, walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. In other words, when you're talking about being imitators of God, being imitators of Christ, the greatest way that we can do that is to love like he loved. Now, I don't know about you, but you know, I've studied the whole Bible, and man, wouldn't you love to be able to imitate God and just create stuff out of nothing? You know, wouldn't you love to imitate God and perform wonderful miracles and do all? No, when he's talking about being imitators of God, he's not talking about any kind of power in your life or ability for you to do or accomplish any particular thing. He's talking about this emotion of being able to truly love as he loves. Now, I know when you talk about, you know, loving like God loves, it sounds simple. But reality is we tend to get in our own way sometimes in the process of really loving the way he calls us to love, because we seem to distort. We seem to distort what God's love actually looks like, especially what it looks like in action. And we tend to mold it into what the world defines love as being, which is a far cry from what God intends it to be. So here today, in the few moments that we have, what I want to do is I want us to take a look at the love of God in a couple of different aspects of this love. And I'm going to describe God's love to you as how the Bible describes it. And then I want to encourage us to, as we think about being imitators of God, imitators of Christ, that this is what he's really talking about. To love the world, to love others as he has loved us. You know, here's the first thing about God's love, and this is so elementary, but yet it's so very important. God's love is unconditional. God's love is unconditional. So many times in life, you know, we say, you know what? I love you if I love you if you love me back, if you are good to me, if you serve me, if you never harm me. Or I love you because, and then we can make a list of what causes us to love someone else. I love you if, I love you because. No, no, no. God simply says, I love you. Isn't it amazing to think that there's nothing that you could do, nothing that you could ever do to cause God to love you any less? Now, I know John 3:16 is arguably the most well-known, often quoted verse in the Bible, but it's for good reason. It's amazingly concise in how it explains the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news from the Heavenly Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. There wasn't anything that we did to earn God's love. to have God's favor. Matter of fact, if you think about the previous centuries of history, it would seem likely that God would know better than to send His Son to die in the way that He died. I mean, if you believe in an omnipotent God, in an omniscient God, all-powerful, all-knowing God, that He knew exactly what He was getting His Son into when He sent Him, but that He did it anyway. Isn't it amazing how little it takes us, how little it takes for us and for our love to be tarnished? To be tarnished. You know, I love my son-in-law, the father of my grandchildren. And then he sends me some meme or some joke about my college football team, and just right away my love meter goes way down. You know what? And we laugh, but there's actually some truth in it. You know, he sent me a picture not too long ago. It was a picture of a man mowing a yard on an orange and white lawnmower. And the caption said, "It doesn't mow, it just talks about how it's going to mow next year." And he must have thought that I was going to laugh at that. Or he sends me a thing, and he said, "John, do you know how to get the former University of Tennessee football player off your porch?" And then a few minutes later, he sends me the response, and he says, "Pay him for the pizza." That's what I said. Oh! It is so easy for our love to be tarnished, for our joy to be diminished, for us to lessen. In other words, you see somebody that is in real need, and you have compassion for that person, and then you find out something about them. I don't know, anything. And all of a sudden you think, you know what, I don't quite feel so sorry for that person anymore. I mean, he's responsible for much of the situation that he's in. God never did that. While you and I were still sinners, He died for us. There wasn't anything that we could do to earn His love. There's not anything that we can do to diminish His love. And He wants us to love that way. God's love is intentional. God's love is sacrificial. God's love is powerful. You know, in thinking about love makes me remember a story I heard once about a college fella who walked into a photography studio, and he had a framed picture of his girlfriend, and he wanted the picture duplicated, and it involved, you know, taking it out of the frame, and in doing this, the guy in the studio, he noticed the inscription on the back of the photograph, and it said, "My dearest Tom, I love you with all my heart. I love you more and more each day. I will love you forever and ever. I am yours for all eternity." And it was signed Helen. And then there was a P.S. P.S. If we ever break up, I want the picture back. God never asked for anything back. You see, this Helen obviously was dealing with a different kind of love. So I say to you that when we're striving to not be like a chameleon, we have to respond with the love of God, and the love needs to be unconditional. I mean, how can you love even those that seem impossible to love? How can you get so little from a relationship with someone in the world, but yet God calls you to love that person unconditionally as you imitate God, as you imitate Christ? It's difficult, but it's something that we must do. Now think about this, because not only is His love unconditional, but I also thought about how it's unconventional. I mean, think about that word. Jesus ministered on earth. He was constantly showing devotion, showing compassion, showing mercy, showing love to those that in many ways did not love him back. Loving others that loving people that others passed by. Jesus loved those whom culture had seemed to say were unlovable, unclean, and undeserving. I mean, you need some examples. How about the woman at the well? How about Zacchaeus, the evil tax collector? How about the woman who had an issue of blood that had been ostracized? How about the invalid at the pool of Bethesda? How about the thief hanging next to him on the cross? How about the Jews who actually crucified him? And he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." You see, when you think about Jesus' compassion, about his mercy, yes, it was unconditional, but it was unconventional. It wasn't like how anyone else had chosen to love. Jesus, think about this. Jesus looked crazy to his culture by the way that he loved and cared about other people. Can that be said of us? That we love so unconditionally, that we love so unconventionally, that the world would look at us and say that we are somewhat crazy because of the way that we love. It is unbelievable to me to think about the love of God and what that love of God can do in a person's life. The love of God can save you. It can make you redeemed and justified in His presence. And the great things that the love of God can bring about in your life can equally be as amazing in the lives of other people if you love them the way God has asked you to. I mean, think about this, folks. If we tell each other the truth, if we're a follower of Jesus, if we've been a follower of Jesus long enough, you've definitely heard or read the unbelievable testimony of someone that had responded to the love of God, and God's love totally transformed them in real ways. And then to think that that's exactly the way that God calls us to love other people. Without conditions, unconventionally. One time I was speaking at a men's group, and I'd said something about Arlene and about our family. And I don't remember now how I had said it, but this guy came up to me, and it kind of insulted me at first because he actually said to me, "Do you love her as much as you say you do?" And I thought, wow, that's a weird question to ask. And of course I said, yes, I do. And then it hit me as he was asking and talking about that and telling me about his particular situation. So many times when we try to describe love, we try to describe it in a perfect context, offered from a perfect heart, and received by a perfect situation. And that's not it. Because so many times, life as we live it is messy. Even love is messy. It's hard to understand. But you see, love is not driven by someone's responsibility to receiving it and by someone's understanding that they deserve it. But love is driven by a commitment to accomplish what only love can accomplish. God's love for us has accomplished so much. And he's told us that if we imitate God, if we walk in his footsteps, that we can spend our entire life sharing this beautiful thing called love that can change the world. John 15, 13, greater love has no one than this, than someone to lay down their life for their friends. I mean, think about it. Do you have people in this world that you would lay down your life for? Do you have people in mind who need to receive the unbelievable love of God? I mean, would you be willing to be transformed, to be an ambassador in order to show that love to others? If you said yes to any or all of those, then you must be willing to imitate Christ, to stand out rather than to fit in. John 13, verse 35 says, by this everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. Why is it that we live in such a time that real love, love that we've described here today by God, is such a shock? Such a shock to the world and people. Because the admonition here is that if we love each other as God calls us to, that people will know that we are his children. Another way to look at this is to say that if you love others, you will stand out. So what do you need in order to exercise this kind of love? You need the heart of God and the love of other people. You know, when Dan Burkhart was up here on this stage in his chair and shared with us his story, he told the story of how difficult it was this last time to find a kidney. And a number of people had offered to be tested and were tested, but just roadblock after roadblock came up before him, and he didn't get a kidney. And lo and behold, my sister, Deborah, Deborah, she's the one next to me in age. She was watching that service down in Burlington, North Carolina. And she was watching it with her 10-year-old granddaughter, Sydney Claire. And after that service was over, Sydney Claire texted me. And she said, Uncle John, she said, you tell Dan that if he ever needs another kidney, I would give him one of mine. I say to you that a young child like that can display love that's difficult for us adults to understand. She's never been here. She doesn't know Dan. She heard his story and had compassion for him. But here's the key. This 10-year-old girl, I've been around her enough to know that she knows the Father in heaven. And she understands the kind of love that God has shared with her and the kind of love that he has commanded us to share with others. So that was what moved her to write me that text. Does that love move you today? And if it does, what does it move you to do? Are you willing to imitate Christ? Are you willing to stand out rather than to fit in? Because the greatest way that we can stand out and not fit in is to have the love of God in our hearts. Because then you will be an imitator, but not like a chameleon with the surroundings around him, but that you will look and sound and feel like the very presence of God to the people in your life. That is a wonderful goal to have. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I ask this morning that that we could understand what it really means to be imitators of Christ, to be imitators of God, not in power, Lord, but in love. In fact, Jesus in many ways laid aside the powers in this world that he could have commanded in order to show love, unconditional love, unconventional love, but true love, Lord, And I know that the world doesn't understand that kind of devotion, that kind of love, but yet, God, that's what we're called to do today. So, Lord, when we look at people, may we not see people that are unlovely, but, Lord, people that need love, God's love, and our love, like God's love. So, Father, I pray that you would empower us to live and to share that kind of love each and every day for each and every person that we encounter in life. Father, may it be so because of your great power and because of our faith and your Spirit working in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.